the brother that sang for us this morning. It's a great blessing. Enjoy the good Sunday school hour as well. I sure do hope the Lord will help us this morning during the preaching part of the service. I do something this morning I don't do a lot, used to do a lot of. I don't do a lot anymore. But this is my outline this morning. And I wrote it during Sunday school. I'm just going to preach something else today. And normally my sermons are all typed out. And sometimes I use them, sometimes I don't. The Lord began to speak to my heart even before Brother Greg started teaching this morning. And then some other things as well that he said. And then the songs that were sung, Miss Keisha, before Sunday school, sang, "May We Hope in Thee." And we're certainly living in a world that's full of trouble, full of heartache, and full of sorrow. And that's nothing new. It's nothing new. I want you to understand that. It may be new to you, but it's not new. And so the brother got up and sang the song. I don't even know the name of the song that he sang, but there. How did I have any idea that he would sing it all today? Much less that he would sing a song about trouble and sorrow. One of these days it's all going to be over. The first congregational hymn that we sang was "Leaning on the Everlasting Arms." Boy, that's the answer, isn't it? Just leaning on Jesus. So if you have your Bible this morning, I would like for you to turn with us to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. I'll read a couple of verses. We'll pray together. Ask the Lord to help us. And then, I don't know that I will say a lot. I want to read some Bible scripture to you. The Bible says it in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse number 20. It says, "For what hath man of all his labor and of the vexation of his heart, wherein he hath labored under the sun?" Now look at verse 23. "For all," now don't miss that, "for all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity." So I'm thankful for good days. They're a blessing. I'm thankful for victories. They're a blessing. I'm thankful for jubilant times. They're a blessing. I'm thankful for times of laughter. They're a blessing. I'm thankful for times of refreshment and reasons for rejoicing. All of those things are a tremendous blessing. But the Bible says concerning man and the vexation of his heart, "For all his days are sorrows." You know, even among those times of refreshing, deep down in our heart, there's sorrows. Even in those times where we are filled with laughter, and I encourage you to laugh. The Bible says that laughter doeth the heart good like a medicine. But underneath that laughter, there's sorrows. In times when we're on the mountaintop and we are rejoicing, and those are far more than we deserve, underneath the crust of that, there is sorrow. But it ain't always going to be this way. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for your goodness to us.
Thank you for your blessings upon us. Lord, can I just say now publicly to you and those listening, I praise the Lord that there's a brighter day coming. Have complete confidence, not in myself, but in the Scripture. And I'm glad that I'm a winner either way. Lord, would you please help us today? Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not sure what exactly. Come to Job chapter 1, if you will. Led me to this exact moment today, other than numerous conversations just this week. And all that is going on in our world currently, and every time that there's any kind of uprising or war in the Middle East, there's always all kinds of uncertainty and different things that go on in our hearts and our lives. But I'm glad that having a firm and secure foundation in the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't have to allow those things to cause us to stray or sway. Amen. What a blessing. Talking about trouble, sorrow, sometimes we drown in our own by failing to realize that there are many others who have greater affliction. Notice Job chapter 1, verse 13. You know the verse as well. I just want to remind you of his situation. The Bible says in verse number 1 of Job chapter 1, and there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Verse 16, while he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven, and hath burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, the Chaldeans made out the three bands, and fell upon the camels, and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness. I smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Skip down to chapter 2. Look at verse number 1. And there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence camest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity. Oh, thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. Now, I don't know if you noticed that or not, but Satan gave testimony concerning Job. And he said, he's a man of integrity. I've taken all of his possessions. I've taken all of his wealth. I've even taken all of his children. And yet he says here, he feareth God and he hateth evil and he holdeth fast his integrity. Oh, thou movest me against him to destroy him. Look at this. Look carefully. Without cause. I tell you this morning that you may be facing some things, and oftentimes we face things in our life, and obviously the right thing to do is begin to search our heart and trying to find out, Lord, what have I done to cause this? What situation have I been in? Or is it something that I have done, something I have said, something I have neglected, something I have forsaken? What is the cause of this situation? Could I just tell you that it may be without a cause? It could just be we're trying to figure out if you're going to trust God, you're going to retain your integrity, you're going to continue to serve the Lord, you're going to continue to stand for what is true and right, you're not going to be swayed to one side or the other, you're going to continue walking with the Lord regardless of what may have come up in your life. Now notice this, look at verse 4. Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore balls from the sole of his foot into his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself with, and he sat down among the ashes. Now, I want to say something I just noticed just now as I was reading this. I believe, and I've made this statement on many occasions, I believe that God is a God of order. And I believe that when the Lord puts things in the Bible, it's not necessarily that one is more important than the other, but I do believe that God puts things in order. Something that I just now noticed, and the Lord just burdened my heart about, and that's people's physical condition. A lot of times we pray for so-and-so, they have this, pray for so-and-so, they have that. But according to this, Job has lost all of his wealth. He has lost all of his children. He retained his integrity. He retained his place with God. He retained his faith. And Satan said, well, if you will let me afflict his health, that'll change his mind. I have been very privileged in my life not to suffer greatly physically. And I pray if it be the Lord's will, I don't have to do that. But I'll tell you, sometimes it seems to me, and what little sickness that I have had, it is difficult to retain your integrity, retain your faith, retain your perseverance, retain your desire to live a life that is pleasing with the Lord when you're struggling physically. Satan said, let me afflict his life and he'll curse you. Look how that went. Look at verse number 9. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Now we read that, and we give Job's wife a lot of slack, a lot of condemnation. But as a husband that dearly loves his wife, and I don't know everything about how a woman is wired, but in 38 years almost of marriage, I've learned a few things. And I can tell you that this woman's heart is absolutely broken and ripped to shreds. They tend to be more personal. They tend to be more burdened. They care more about the finances. They worry more about the financial situation and where this is going to come. I don't worry about those things. I often tell my wife she wears enough for both of us. There's no reason for me to worry about it. And so women oftentimes worry about those situations. And then there's the children. Can you imagine the brokenness and the trouble and the sorrow and the affliction that this woman has endured all in a very short amount of time? And now her husband, who was one time a leader, who was one time a prominent man in the community, who was one time a picture of health and wealth, and now he is sitting in a pile of ashes covered from head to toe in sores, and he's taking a piece of pottery and he is scraping those sores trying to get some relief. And we wonder why she would make a comment like she did. I don't wonder why she did. I am thankful that Job was a man of integrity that trusted God, who did not give in because she was struggling spiritually. In fact, he answered, and said unto her, he didn't call her foolish. He said, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? And then he asked the question, what? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? We cannot imagine the brokenness. We cannot imagine the sorrow. We cannot imagine the hurt. And Job said, we have still got to trust God. We're still going to trust in the Lord. I'm still not going to sin. Amen. God has given everything that we had. God gave us our children. God gave us our home. God gave us our crops. God gave us our service. God gave us our animals. Everything that we have, God gave to us. Why would we receive those and not expect that we should also receive evil? I'm afraid that sometimes we're guilty of when things go sideways or go south in our lives, we start trying to find someone to point to or someone to blame, or even under our breath, we begin to doubt God just a little bit. Listen, friend, everything you got today, God gave you. We don't have anything apart from Him. What a blessing it is to know Him, amen. Look at Job chapter 5. Job chapter 5. Nothing pretty today. Just truth from the Bible. Job chapter 5, look at verse number 7. I'll read verse number 6. It says, although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground. Now look at verse 7. Yet man is born unto trouble as sure as the sparks fly upward. You start a fire, you poke that thing, I tell you exactly what the sparks do, they fly upward. And as sure as that's true, we're going to have trouble. Look at Job 14. Job 14. Just yet another reminder. Man that is born of a woman. Can I ask you a question? Is there anybody in here this morning that's not born of a woman? Any liars present? All right. So man that is born of a woman, that's all of us. Is, not could be, not should be, not maybe, is a few days. We have a few days. If you live to be 100 years old, it's a few days. And those aren't only a few days. They are full of trouble. Full of trouble. I think there are many of us today who could take time out and say, the Bible sure is true. The older I get, the faster time passes. It is amazing. It is unbelievable how fast time is fleeting. And I always seem to think when I was younger that, man, the older you get, the better it's going to get, and the easier it's going to get, and the better things are going to be. And what you do is you just move from one set of trouble to the next set of trouble, and one set of problems to the other set of problems. And it's just full of trouble. Come to Psalm 116. Psalm 116. Look what the Bible says. I love thee, Lord. I want to read that again. Some of you didn't get it. I love thee, Lord, because... I love those things in the Bible where it says that and it gives you a good reason. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. I say the problem is that trouble is common to all. But I sure am glad that the Lord loves me. I'm glad He loves you. But I can be pretty selfish at times. I sure am glad the Lord loves me.
I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplication, because He hath inclined His ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. Now listen, there's going to be trouble all the days of our life. There's going to be sorrow all the days of our life. There's never going to be a time in this life that is full of trouble. You say, preacher, this is not very encouraging. It is if you pay attention to the Bible. For the world and the lost and those that don't know God and those that don't have any hope, it is misery upon misery and heartache upon heartache and trouble upon trouble and sorrow upon sorrow, and they have no hope and they have no cure. But friend, I got a promise, amen. That is that my Savior will hear my prayer and He'll hear my supplication. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
He hath inclined His ear unto little old me. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Oh, I don't know, but I sure am glad he is. Amen. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. I had trouble last week, and I called upon the Lord. I had trouble the week before, and I called upon the Lord. I had trouble years before, and I called upon the Lord. And if I have trouble tomorrow, by God's grace, I'm going to do the same thing that I did yesterday, and I did last week, and I did last year. I'm going to keep calling upon Him. Amen. Now look at verse number 3. This is a verse I was going to read. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. And look what he found. I found trouble and sorrow. Now we read it in Job. His trouble was without cause, and yet it came. And here we see the psalmist writing. He confesses his love for the Lord. He's not a heathen. He's not out living sinful and ungodly and worldly. He's not trusting in the things of man. He's not trusting in himself. He said, I love the Lord, and the reason I love Him is because He heard my voice and my supplications. He loves God, and he understands that God hears him when he cries. He understands that God hears him when he prays. And he said, because he has inclined, he's listening to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. You know what happened immediately after that? You know what he found? He didn't find peace. He didn't find a smooth paved road. He didn't find good times. He didn't find that everything was hunky-dory and it was all good and it was all blessings all the time. No! He found trouble and sorrow. Say, preacher, Sunday morning, we sprung forward. We're rejoicing. Okay? We see the problem. Praise God for the promise. Come to Psalm 9. Psalm 9. Preacher said this morning, I love to hear those pages turn. All right, we're finished looking at the problem. There's trouble and sorrow. I praise the Lord for the promise. Look at verse number 9, Psalm 9, verse 9. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed. A refuge in the times of trouble. There's going to be trouble. There's going to be problems. There's going to be sorrow. There's going to be difficulty. But we don't have to bear that on our own. The Lord is a refuge in the times of sorrow. Come to Psalm 1. Come to Psalm 71. Psalm 71. Psalm 71. Look at verse number 19. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God, who is like unto thee? Now, what a tremendous verse. He's done great things. There's nobody like him. Now look at verse number 20. Thou which hast showed me, please don't miss this, great and sore troubles. Now look. The psalmist is exalting how great our Savior is. I mean, verse number 19, He's righteousness. He's very high. He's done great things. There ain't none like Him. Nowhere. There's none like Him anywhere in the world. And the very next verse, He says, which has showed me great and sore troubles. Boy, we like it when it's good. Can I just tell you something this morning to try to help you? You're going through the trouble. It could very well be that the trouble you're going through is so God can show you how great He is. The problems that you're facing and the difficulty that you're struggling with, it could just be that you're going through those things because God wants to do something miraculous in your life. He wants to show you just how wonderful He is. He wants to show you how righteous He is, how high and holy and lifted up and exalted He is. He's a great God, amen. I promise you, friend, there ain't none like Him. Now, the verse don't end there, as great as that is. Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles shalt quicken me again. Now look, you're down. I've been down. I've been discouraged. I've been defeated. I've wanted to give up. I've wanted to quit. I've wanted to walk away. I've wanted to find a place where no one was at and just get along and have a pity party. The same God that sent the trouble and the same God that sent the sorrow is the same God that quickened me again. Look what He says. And shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Say, preacher, you just don't understand how bad it is. You don't understand how low I am. You don't understand the depths of my trouble and the depths of my situation. I don't think you've gone further than Job went. God said, I'll bring you up again. I'll quicken you again. I'll bring you up again from the depths of the earth. What a great promise. Now, come to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I don't know if this is helping you. The Lord's helping me. The Lord's helping me. Maybe it's a spiritual issue or spiritual battle. May not be physical at all. May not be financial. May not be family. May be spiritual. We'd all be lying if we said we didn't ever have spiritual battles. In fact, they're numerous. And they come more than they go. And we struggle with those things. Some of my favorite scripture in the Bible is probably in an odd place for many. Maybe it's because I'm so carnal, I don't know. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, right before the Apostle Paul takes the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and he begins slicing and dicing and cutting
And the Bible talks about in Jeremiah that His Word is like a fire and it's like a hammer. And He starts pounding on these Christians at Corinth before because of their carnality. He reminds them of some wonderful truths in Scripture. And look what the Bible says. Look at this. Paul, we're talking about the promise. Listen, if you're not... let me just call a timeout. If you're not saved this morning, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you're miserable now, and you're going to be more miserable if you die that way. You don't have no hope. You don't have any promise. You don't have eternal life. You're going to live on this earth, and whether you're saved or lost, it's going to be full of trouble and full of sorrow. As sure as the sparks fly upward, man born of woman, it doesn't say any. That's everybody. There's trouble. And you're going to die. You're going to live in trouble. You're going to die in trouble. And you're going to spend eternity in the greatest trouble that's ever been known to man. The Bible says the rich man, the Bible says in Luke chapter 16, he lifted his eyes being in torments, plural. The Bible says that there in the lake of fire, there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I want to tell you, if you don't know Jesus, as bad as it is here, this is the only heaven you know if you die without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Friend, if you're saved, I'm glad the Lord's not going to leave us. And He's not going to forsake us. And in spite of our difficulties, and in spite of our failures, and in spite of the fact that we're not living up to what we would like to live up as a Christian, what we would like to accomplish as a believer, and I'm not making excuses, we ought to be striving daily to live in such a way that's pleasing to God, but the Bible still declares that all of our righteousness are as filthy rags, and if we were honest, none of us are what we would like to be for the Lord. And yet He has not changed His mind about me. Look at these verses. Paul, verse number 1, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We are sanctified in Christ Jesus. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 10, we are complete in Him. We are saints in the eyes of God. We can call upon the name of the Lord. There's grace unto us. That is a continual, ongoing grace. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father. What a blessing. Then He says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. So, verse number 3, grace be unto you. Verse number 4, grace which is given you. Both of these are an ongoing thing. I praise the Lord for by grace are you saved through faith. I'm glad for saving grace. I praise the Lord for living grace. I praise the Lord for grace during trouble. I praise the Lord for grace during trials. I praise the Lord for grace when I fail. I praise the Lord for grace when He helps me to be victorious. Praise God for His grace. Amen. It's an ongoing thing. Verse 5, that in everything you're enriched by Him. Now, don't miss this little phrase. In everything ye are enriched by Him. Everything. My life is 100,000% better because of Him. I have never regretted one day of living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not one day. Everything in my life is enriched by Him. In all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Praise the Lord. We are sanctified in Christ Jesus. The testimony is confirmed in us. So that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus, who shall also confirm you unto the end. Now don't miss this. It's one thing to be confirmed. That's a blessing. It's a tremendous thing to be confirmed unto the end. So I'm not worried about getting out of this thing. And then it goes on to say that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know, you may be high and holy, but I'm extremely grateful for the fact that the grace of God is going to confirm me, not just for a few days, but to the end. And when I appear before God, I'm going to appear before Him blameless. The man whose life was full of sorrow and full of trouble and full of heartache and full of adversity can be confirmed blameless unto the end. Now here's why. Verse number 9. Because God is faithful. I want to be faithful. I strive to be faithful. The Bible says, I think it's in chapter 2, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But if we're honest with ourselves and with God, we're not always faithful. But I'm glad God is, amen. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, just a couple more places, and I'm done. Come to Philippians chapter 3. The promise, we're in Christ. We are sanctified in Christ. We are confirmed unto the end. We'll be presented before God blameless. What a great promise. Now, how is that possible? It's only possible two ways. Either by death or the rapture. Look what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now, I think there's many reasons why the Apostle Paul said that. But can I tell you one of the main reasons the Apostle Paul said this? Let me show you verse number 23 first. He said, for I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. He said to die is gain, and to be with Christ is far better. Why would the Apostle Paul make such a statement concerning dying? He wasn't suicidal. He wanted to be with his Lord. Life had brought him so much trouble. Life had brought him so much sorrow. Life had brought him so much difficulty, so much pain, so much heartache. He'd been beaten 3 times. 39 stripes, save one. He had been in shipwreck 3 times. A night and a day he stood in the deep. In prison multiple times. In nakedness and hunger and in thirst. And he mentioned that on top of all that, the care for all of the churches. So he recognized, I really believe with all of my heart that when it came time for the Apostle Paul to go to Nero's chopping block to have his head cut off, I believe he ran there. With the anticipation that the sorrow and the trouble and the problems were all behind him. He was going to be with his Savior. Only two ways to get out of this. One's by death. I'm not looking for the undertaker, though. I'm looking for the upper taker. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Now, I'll end with this verse. The piano player wants to be coming this way. I'm looking for Jesus to come. There's a lot of things. I know that we're not looking for signs and all that. We believe the Bible. I understand that. But our world is becoming an increasingly dark place. When you mention these things, you get labeled a lot of things. And I'm not a prophecy, preacher, prophesy, I tell you what the Bible says. Iran is definitely in the Bible. That part of the Middle East is all in the Bible. I'm not upset that we attacked Iran. It's definitely an axis of evil. This is not a political thing. We're nearing the end. Whether it be this conflict or this war or the next one, Jesus is soon coming. And with great anticipation, I'm looking forward to leaving this world that is full of trouble and full of sorrow far behind me and going to be with my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that's not something that's dear to your heart, it's a good time to check up, amen. Look what the Scripture says, and I'll be done. Philippians chapter 3, look at verse 19. Paul says, for our conversation, that's our lifestyle, it's in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Can I tell you something? Trouble is common to all. But death is not common. Death is common to all too, but death is not a gain for anyone other than a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have heard the gospel, should Jesus come today, I believe the Bible teaches that you'll be sent strong delusion, you'll believe a lie, and you'll be damned. If you don't know Jesus, the day, today, is the day of salvation. And now is accepted time. If you do know Him, I pray the Lord has allowed you to see today that trouble and sorrow is just part of our life. But Jesus has a better day for us. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed for this morning, for just a moment while she plays. Would you come? The Lord spoke to your heart some way, somehow, this morning. If you just want to come and thank the Lord for the promise that He's given you.